नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय मद्धर्मनोगुणाय हरिसंसुधाश्रयाय पुरुष्यस्यञ्जसाभ्येति श्रुतमात्रा गुणं हिमम्।
When one is fully qualified with all these transcendental attributes, and his consciousness is thus completely purified, he is immediately attracted simply by hearing my name, or hearing of my transcendental quality.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
In the beginning of this instruction, the Lord explained to His mother that mad guna shruti matrena, simply by hearing the name, quality, form, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately attracted. A person becomes fully qualified with all transcendental qualities by following the rules and regulations as recommended in different scriptures. We have developed certain unnecessary qualities by material association. And by following the above process, we become free from that contamination. To develop transcendental qualities, as explained in the previous verse, one must be free from these contaminated qualities. We are reading today from Canto 3, Chapter 29, entitled Explanation of Devotional Service, text number 19. In this very important chapter, Lord Kapila Dev is explaining to his mother the process of devotional service. In the previous verses, the actual process by which we can purify our hearts is explained. He's explaining the great necessity of associated with saintly persons, surrendering to the order of the spiritual master, regularly absorbing one's mind in hearing the glories of the Lord, constantly aspire to chant the holy names of the Lord, how to live by very high moral standards, being compassionate to all those who are suffering, never being envious of anyone, making friends with the devotees who are equal to ourselves, honoring, serving, and worshiping those who are superior to ourselves, and uplifting, in a sense of service, to those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Krishna explains in Gita, Raja Vesha Vimuktaishtu Vishayanandriyaishtaran Atma Bashaya Vidheyatma Prasadam Arigachtati. By following the regulative principles of freedom, we become transcendental to all the attractions and distractions and aversions in this world, because one attains the mercy of the Lord. The regulative principles of devotional service are the means within this age by which we can attract the mercy of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, "My dear Lord, your mercy is all that I am made of." He prays to the spiritual master that I have nothing more than your mercy. It is my only hope, my only shelter, my entire existence. The regulative principles of devotional service are the way that Krishna has so mercifully given within this world to attract his mercy. By performing our occupational duties in a spirit of devotion, one attains the taste to hear the glories of the Lord. Actually, what ultimately purifies our heart and brings us back home, back to Godhead, is when we develop the taste for hearing about Krishna and the enthusiasm to chant his name. All the regulative principles of devotional service are ultimately meant to bring us to that point. Bhagavatam describes dharma shvanushtata pungshang vishvakshena katashiyat not padiyat yatiratim shamevahi kevalam. Whatever occupational duties one may perform, if in the end whatever you do in your life does not culminate in developing a deep, eager taste to hear about Krishna, then whatever you have done is simply a waste of time. Shamevahi kevalam. Life is so precious. Every moment is so rare. We should be constantly striving to develop the taste to hear the glories of Krishna. Srinvatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtana hrityantasto yabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Srimad Bhagavatam explains how when a devotee takes great pleasure in hearing about Krishna, then the Lord within the heart is so pleased upon that devotee that the Lord cleanses all the contaminations of the heart. And one becomes established in one's true constitutional position of the loving servant of the Lord. If we simply develop that taste to hear about Krishna, Krishna does everything else. But how to develop that taste? Developing a taste for hearing about Krishna is not simply a temporary type of entertainment that we may strive to enjoy. Just like, for instance, in India, there are people who speak Bhagavad Katha or Ramayan Katha for so many hours every day, and people are in rapt attention hearing. And they're actually enjoying probably as much as anybody who goes to the cinema house. But are they actually developing a taste for hearing about Krishna? Is it actually the heart, the soul, that's really tasting devotion? Or is it just the entertainment of the mind? Bhagavatam explains, Shushushro Shuddhadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirutana Sevana. There's only one way to develop this taste for hearing about Krishna: by serving great souls, by becoming the humble, menial, sincere servant of the Vaishnavas. And how do we serve? Srila Prabhupada was so simple, so direct, and so perfect in his presentation. Simply by hearing very high, lofty, esoteric subject matters and enjoying the content is not really the way we develop a taste for hearing about Krishna and chanting his names. But following the instructions of the spiritual master with earnest enthusiasm. This is the process. What are the teachings that Srila Prabhupada has given us? We should very, very carefully study his books. He taught us that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, all the perfections will be achieved. But how to chant Hare Krishna? It is explained in Shastra, if one chants the holy name even once, offenselessly, all the sins of all of our previous lives are extinguished. But how to vibrate that one offenseless chant? It's not simply a matter of how we pronounce or how we manipulate our tongue to say it. It's how we're pleasing Krishna when we say it. Therefore, a life modeled in harmony with the will of God is what is required to chant the holy name perfectly. This is what Lord Kapila Dev is explaining. He's describing the whole quality. If you're not compassionate to others, if you're not charitable to others, if you do not perform your duty honestly, if you're not really, really striving to obey the spiritual master, to serve the Vaishnavas, to be kind to all living beings, if you're not really trying to understand the content of the scriptures, that we're not actually following the process, then Krishna will not manifest himself as his holy name and purify our hearts. The whole purpose of life is simply to purify our hearts. Om apavitra apavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmarek pundarikaksam savayabhyantara suchi. We chant this mantra before our initiation ceremony. Today there will be some initiation. What is the purpose of initiation? The purpose of initiation is to always remember Krishna, because by always remembering Krishna, Krishna is pleased and he purifies the contaminations of our heart. In whatever we do in life, we have to use our God-given intelligence directed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra to analyze what I speak, what I do, what I think. Is this perpetuating my material conditioning, or is this purifying me? Is this pleasing to Krishna? Atapum beard vijastreshtas varna shrama vibhagasha shvanustatasya dharmasya samsidir haritoshana. The only criteria, success or failure, for a devotee is, does it please Krishna or not? Fame, wealth, success, all sorts of facilities to enjoy, this has nothing to do with devotional service, unless our efforts are pleasing to Krishna. To love God is the natural condition of every living being. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje. Ahoitaki abhata yatma suprasidati. Supreme occupation for all humanity is that which establishes unconditional, unmotivated love for Krishna. And the expression of love is to serve the object of our love selflessly. And Prabhupada said the ends are the means. The process by which we attain that is by striving to serve Krishna selflessly. If Krishna sees that we are sincere, then he gives all help. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling through the southern provinces of India, he was giving everybody such a simple message. Just chant the holy names of the Lord. But he also taught the pros how to chant the holy names of the Lord. This was exemplified when he went to Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is a very, very holy place in South India. Have any of you ever been there? Do you know the story of that temple? There was a king who had a very beautiful queen. And the queen was a very great devotee of Lord Vishnu. And the king, he was also a devotee, but not such a great devotee. So one time, his queen, she was worshiping Lord Vishnu on Ekadasi in the temple room. So the king, somehow or other, the mode of passion just overcame his mind and senses. And he approached his wife, knocked on the temple room door, and said, "Come, I need you." Whew. She was really upset. She said, "Just one moment, my dear husband." She went back into the temple room, and she was praying, "Dear Lord Vishnu, please save me. It's Ekadasi, and I want to worship you with love. And my husband is coming to me with this desire, and he's the king. I don't know what to do. Please save me." Meanwhile, the husband was right outside the temple room door. Would you like to hear the rest of the story? It seems like the ladies are taking more interest in this story than I am. This predicament perhaps it's common. So she was praying, "Please, I do not want to disrupt my relationship with my husband, the king. I'm his dutiful servant. But at the same time, my Lord, it's Ekadasi. I want to worship you. I want to become purified. Save me, save me, save me." So Vishnu called for Mother Ganga. To the king's great surprise, all of a sudden, the temple doors just burst open. And the river Ganges just started flowing like torrents and torrents of current right at the king. And all he could do was run away. And he was running and running, and the Ganga was flowing right after him. If she caught him, he would have been drowned to death within a moment. She was roaring, and he was running. He ran all the way to the top of a mountain. And Ganga Devi, she realized that he was somewhat purified by this experience. So on the top of this mountain, he was thinking, "My wife is really a great devotee. Look at me and look at her. I'm just such a lusty animal, and she's such a pure soul that Ganga appeared in the world to punish me just to protect her purity." And he decided to atone for the offense against his wife. He would worship the Supreme Personality of God. So then he was praying, and Narada Muni appeared and gave him a particular mantra to chant to establish his relationship with Krishna. It was a mantra to Kurmadev, the turtle avatar. And he chanted this mantra, and then Kurmadev appeared to him. And he surrendered to Kurmadev, and he became a very, very, very great devotee. And from that time on, the deity of Kurmadev that he worshipped is still there in the southern part of India. There's another nice story about that deity. Prabhupada tells it in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Sripad Ramanujacharya went to Jagannath Puri, he saw that they were having all kinds of spontaneous offerings of puja to Jagannath. And he was thinking, this is not according to the Shastras. It's not according to the Pancharatrikya Vidhi. So he was correcting the pujaris. You should do it like this, this, this. Then he went to sleep that night and Jagannath came and said, they are worshiping with me with pure love. Why are you interfering with them? Get out of this place. And threw Ramanujacharya hundreds of miles in his dream. And then he woke up and he wasn't in Puri, he was in Kurukshetra. This is the power of the Lord. And he saw this deity and he couldn't understand, what is this deity? Thought it was a Shivalingam, so he started to fast. Then he was told it was Kurma, so he made a big feast. and then he established the worship according to his realizations, and to this day, the followers of Ramanujacharya are very strictly following the deity in this way, according to his teachings. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was left Jagannath Puri, the first recorded place that he stopped was Kurukshetra. And he went to that temple. He started having ecstatic kirtan. All the villagers from all the towns close by, they all came because they heard this beautiful, beautiful personality was dancing in ecstasy before Kurmadev. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his long arms that were elongated beneath his knees, raised them high into the sky, with his beautiful lotus eyes that stretched practically to his ears, weeping torrents of tears of pure love. His beautiful complexion, like molten gold, was glimmering and shining, and each limb was trembling in sweet affection for Krishna. He was loudly roaring the holy names of Krishna. And soon, hundreds, thousands of people were there, all dancing in ecstasy, chanting Harinam. After many hours, one Brahmin invited Lord Chaitanya to stay at his home and take prasad. He is known as the Kurma Brahmin. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his home, the Kurma Brahmin, who was actually a very wealthy, highly esteemed person, he washed Lord Chaitanya's feet. Then he took that water and sprinkled it on his head and the heads of all of his family members. Then he drank the water and served it out to all of his family members. With folded palms, he offered prayers. Today, my family, my wealth, my home, all generations of my ancestors, my very purpose of life, everything has attained its perfection because you have placed your feet in our home. Those same lotus feet that Lord Brahma and the demigods strive and strive and strive to achieve and never really find them, those same feet have come into my home to purify our existence. I surrender to you. My dear Lord, in this ocean of material existence, the pains and sufferings of family life are causing me great suffering. There are just waves of suffering that continuously bash against my heart. I desire to give up this family life, take to the renounced order, and follow you, my Lord. Do you think Lord Chaitanya was happy to hear such a wonderful prayer? He said, do not speak such nonsense. Never speak this again. There is no reason for you to give up your family. You remain at home. You perform your duties. But you always chant the names of Krishna. And whoever you meet, you instruct them in the hands of Krishna. Follow these principles of devotional service, even at home, and I will always be with you. We will never be separated. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, wherever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled, he gave the same exact instruction to whoever he met. Just perform your duties in the spirit of devotion. Always chant my holy names, associate with my devotees, and be compassionate to the poor, suffering people. And we will never be separated. The next day, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the Kurma Brahmin's house, he couldn't give up his association. He went following with him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped and said, "Go back home. Follow my order." Which he did. There was a person named Vasudev who had leprosy. Now, leprosy is generally caused due to previous sinful activities. But somehow or other, this Brahmin named Vasudev, although he was condemned by the whole society, because leprosy is a contagious disease. And in those days, if you had leprosy, you weren't even allowed to live with the people in general. You had to go to some secluded place. But he was such a kind, such a compassionate person. His body was filled with worms that were eating away his flesh. Thousands of worms. Just his flesh was so rotten, it was just breeding grounds for these worms. They were eating his body away. Quite a painful experience. But if any worm fell from his body, he would pick it up very carefully and place it back from where it had come, thinking, this body belongs as much to him as to me. So when he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Kurma Brahman's house, he was so eager to meet him. Somehow or other, he made it there. But when he got there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left. So he was thinking, my life is wasted. Without the mercy of the Lord, I have nothing to live for. He was so deeply eager to just give his life to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord is within everyone's heart. He will reciprocate with your every desire. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for this insignificant leper, he reversed his traveling direction and came all the way back to Kurma Brahman's house just to see him. Vasudev, he fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet on the ground. Lord Chaitanya went to embrace him. Vasudev said, please do not touch me, I'm abominable. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcibly grabbed him and embraced him so affectionately. And as he embraced him, all this pus and blood and infectious diseases, Hare Krishna. But immediately, his body was completely cured. He had a wonderful, splendorous, golden complexion. Vasudev said that I can understand you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can be so merciful as you. The people of this world, they condemn me. Just the sight of me, the smell of me makes everyone utterly sick. But you have embraced me with your own arms. He quoted a beautiful sloka from the 10th canto, where Sudama Vipra, that poor Brahmin, was embraced by Krishna. He said, who am I? I'm just an insignificant fallen Brahmin. And who are you? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of all lords, and yet you have embraced me with your own arms. Causeless mercy. Vasudeva's body became beautiful, and his heart was filled with ecstatic love of Krishna, as was the Kurma Brahman. Vasudeva was worried. I may become proud. I have achieved such mercy from you. If pride enters at my heart, then it will spoil my devotional spirit. How can I be free from this pride? Lord Chaitanya gave the same instruction. Just chant my holy names and be kind friend to others and give them Krishna consciousness. And if you simply follow this principle, pride will never enter into your heart. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Kurukshetra, Vasudeva and Kurma Brahman were embracing in ecstasy, dancing and chanting, having received the mercy of the Lord. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. Being willing to follow the process given by the great acharyas. Pleasing Krishna, eager to please the Lord. Then by the Lord's mercy, he cleanses, he purifies all the unwanted things from the hearts and establishes pure devotional service. It is not by any endeavor of our own alone that we can cleanse our heart. It's only by the mercy of Krishna. Our endeavor should simply be to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains what Krishna actually accepts when we offer something to him. This is in relation to a story from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti, they would regularly cook every year thousands of preparations for Lord Chaitanya. And Damayanti, because these preparations were made in Panihati, in Bengal, and carried all the way to Jagannath, she would make each preparation with so much love and devotion. Then she would personally make little bags. She would weave the bags herself. And then she would seal the bags by sewing them. What an incredible endeavor. And then they had several people carrying all these bags to Puri for them to give to the Lord. But when she would be cooking, she would simply be thinking of the Lord's pleasure. She knew. She would just meditate on what will the Lord like. And she'd make a wonderful, wonderful feast and put it in little bags according to what the Lord wanted. And then she was thinking that the next day he's going to have indigestion from eating all the things he ate the first day. So she would make these bitter, digestive preparations to please the Lord. And back in Puri, when the Lord was eating this prasad, in fact, he liked this prasad so much that he would take a portion of it every day for the whole year until the next bag came. And because of her devotion, the Lord made every preparation absolutely fresh, as if it was just prepared even 11 months later. And when he tasted those bitter digestive preparations, he tasted them as sweet as nectar because of the love, the devotion. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains, please hear carefully, this is the essence of everything we should be striving to achieve. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. He does not accept the thing that is offered. He accepts the purpose in which we are offering it. That is devotion. Is our purpose to offer this service so that we will be glorified and famous amongst men? Is our purpose just to get it over with because we have to do it, because we won't get any Mahaprasad if we don't? The fact that you do it, you'll make some progress because it's better than not doing it. But what is our purpose? Is the purpose to please our Guru, to please the Vaishnavas, which is the means of pleasing Krishna? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. If our purpose is to please, to serve, if our purpose is with the intention of striving to become selfless in our service, as Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was speaking yesterday, the joy of bhakti is experienced to the degree we are selfless in our efforts. To the degree we have false ego and selfish motivations in what we do, then that activity cannot really bring fulfillment to the heart. Because fulfillment comes by the reciprocation of Krishna being pleased within. That is fulfillment. No amount of sense gratification could bring fulfillment to the heart. No amount of acquisition of knowledge or fame within this world can bring fulfillment to the heart. Only when Krishna is pleased and he reciprocates is there fulfillment. And he's pleased when we are in a mood of service. Service means selfless. How to do this? We are so selfish. From time immemorial, we are conditioned. I, me, and mine. Janasya moho yamahamma meti. I am this body, and all things in relationship to this body are mine. For what purpose? To enjoy. Prabhupada explains, since time immemorial, we are trying to be the Lord of all we survey, the enjoyer. We come to the process of bhakti. We try to curb this tendency, overcome this tendency by selfless service. The austerity means putting aside my own selfish ambitions for the higher purpose, the higher cause. The age of Kali is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Srila Prabhupada gave a very, very difficult instruction just before he left this world. He said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another to serve my mission. In the age of Kali, to cooperate? It's very difficult. That's how we have to show our love to Srila Prabhupada? But what does love mean? Love means sacrifice. Love means putting the purpose and the pleasure of my beloved as my aim and ideal in life. Krishna told Prachetas, they went down to the bottom of the ocean and performed tapasya for 10,000 celestial years. Hare Krishna. Actually, 1,000,000 celestial years. Long time. And then Lord Vishnu came. And he didn't say that he's coming to give them benedictions because they did this tapasya for so long. He said, I am pleased with you, and I have come to give you all benedictions because you have friendly relationships with each other in serving me. That's what Prabhupada said. You can show your love for me by how you cooperate together. Because in order to cooperate, you have to be selfless. Otherwise, there's no question of cooperation. In the material world, people cooperate because they get so much money for it. But in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, you don't get paid all that much, do you? I mean, the only really reason that you would cooperate is because you want to please Prabhupada and make spiritual advancement. Otherwise, God, there's so many places you could get a lot more material things by cooperating. And Krishna Consciousness Movement, so many diversified people from all different countries, from all different ethnic races, from all different backgrounds of wealth and education. It's actually quite incredible. And everyone has their conditioning from time immemorial to lord it over, to be the enjoyer. So yes, cooperation is a challenge. Srila Prabhupada explained, anybody who thinks that they could become Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees is, what is the word? Insane. Hare Krishna. That's a strong word. Insane. So we need each other. In order to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, as Lord Kapila Dev is explaining, he describes we must avoid the association of materialistic people intimately, and we must really, really find shelter in the association of devotees. But what is association of devotees? It doesn't mean sitting with your god brothers and god sisters eating potato chips, watching movies on television. That is not association of devotees. Association of devotees means coming together to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the glories of the Lord, to give the glories of the Lord to the people in general, to serve the mission of the spiritual masters. That is association of devotees. To encourage one another, to inspire one another, to protect one another. We need each other desperately. If there's a battle and you're sent to the army, Hare Krishna, you need each other. I remember the first time I ever went out preaching. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it shows how ignorant I am. And it's good for me to tell how ignorant I am. I lived at New Vrindavan for 72 to 79. I never left that place. I was living on that mountain where there was no telephone. What to speak of television? There wasn't even a flushing toilet. When you wanted to respond to the inevitable calls of Mother Nature, you had to climb down a mountain, dig a hole in the ground, and then you perform your duties. And then you cover it up and climb back up the mountain. In the winter, it was full of ice and snow, and there was blizzards, and there was very, very... So it was a simple life. No technology. So what happened is, after some years, I was told, go out and preach. So the first preaching program was at a high school in Wheeling, West Virginia. And I was trying, there was about 60 students, about three or four teachers were there. And I was trying to stress the importance of understanding the goal of life and not wasting time. And then I was trying to explain how there's danger at every step in this material world. Padam, padam, yadbi, padam, natesham. You are all seniors in high school. You will graduate. After you get out of high school, you may be drafted and sent to Vietnam to fight in the war and die. And you're all just sitting here thinking everything's so nice, looking at your girlfriends and everything like that. Hare Krishna. They were looking at me like, So then at the end of class, one student raised their hand and said, I don't understand. What do you mean we may get drafted and sent to Vietnam? And I said, I said, once you get out of high school, you don't have this student deferment. What is it? Student excuse. Once you're 18 and you graduate, then you're a candidate for the draft board. Then I started talking about the Vietnam War and all my friends that went to Vietnam, and some got killed and some got their arms blown off. I said, it's very dangerous. So you should become serious about your life now. And the teacher raised her hand. She said, the Vietnam War ended 5 years ago. And you know, back in the 60s, you know, we used to march against the Vietnam War. So when I heard that, I said, really? It ended 5 years ago? She said, yes, they ended the draft 5 years ago. I was so happy. I said, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. The Vietnam War is over. She said, you didn't know that? I said, no. So when you're in battle, you have hundreds of people shooting rockets and bullets and hand grenades and everything at you. And you know, no matter how good of a shooter you are, when you're in the front lines, you're completely dependent on your comrades. You need each other. Doesn't matter what race they're from or what religion they're from or what, it doesn't matter what their, how they move their eyebrows. Sometimes these little things really make us annoyed with people. When you're on the front lines, doesn't matter. I need this person. My life is dependent on him, and his life is dependent on me. The fact is, we are at war with Maya. Whether we're at home, or whether we're in the temple, wherever we are in this age of Kali Yuga, the forces of Maya are attacking. We're in the front lines. She's attacking from without and within. And we cannot fight alone. Prabhupada gives the example of a bunch of sticks. If you tie many, many sticks together, no one can break it because unity is the strength. But any stick you take out, everything's broken. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yugavatar in the age of Kali. And what is the process he taught? Sankirtan. Sankirtan means the congregational chanting of the holy names. We need each other. Our spiritual survival depends on each other. Srila Prabhupada's only purpose of coming to this world is to teach us how to love God and stop all this suffering of birth and death. We can show our love for Srila Prabhupada by becoming perfect and helping others become perfect. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, what service pleases you the most? Prabhupada said, to love Krishna. That's what pleases me the most. When Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate, that means to actually follow his instructions and receive his mercy, we need each other. To have an impact in the world of suffering and ignorance, we need each other. developing nice relationships of devotees is not simply a matter of just making a nice family environment we can enjoy. It's a matter of life or death spiritually for all of us. It is survival. It's serious. It's urgent. And if we follow these principles, and we need each other to give support to follow these principles, unless we really try to be selfless, we will have every excuse to quarrel and be disunited. And that is a fact. Maya will provide every justification to be disunited. That's what Kali Yuga is all about. We have to imbibe this spirit of selflessness, spirit of servant. Vrindavan Das Thakur says this word Das is the highest title in all creation. Before you can actually be a das, it's beyond liberation. It's beyond all mystic cities. It's beyond the demigods' powers and wealth in the heavenly worlds. The ultimate position one can achieve in all of creation is das, to be servant of Krishna. So when we come and take initiation, everyone who takes initiation within our sampradaya is given the title Das, Hare Krishna. We're given the highest privilege, the highest position, Das. But we must understand what Das means. It means selfless servant. Krishna, I'm yours. Guru, I'm yours. Vaishnavas, I'm yours. Our body, our mind, our words, our life becomes the property of those who are Prabhu, those who are our masters. When we have this environment, everyone Prabhu, I am Das, Das, Sanu Das. If everyone is thinking that way, we can take over the world. It is a fact. Because the power of God will just be flowing through our efforts. And when we come together before Sri Sri Radha Damodar with our arms raised and loudly chant the holy names, the power of those names will purify the creation. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions? Is there time for questions? Or shall we end now? Yes, Prabhu.
It's interesting, at the beginning of the class you mentioned that the criteria in Krishna consciousness, at the beginning of the class you mentioned that I can speak. At the beginning of the class you mentioned that the criteria in Krishna consciousness is if you develop love for Krishna or not. But sometimes you get so involved in so many other criteria, starting with how we look, how we sing, how we speak, how we worship, that have some relationship with the main criteria, but at the same time it's far apart. Would you please elaborate on that?
Did everyone hear the question? Maybe you could come and speak it in here.
Hare Krishna. At the beginning of the class, Maharaj mentioned that the criterion in Krishna consciousness is how much we develop love for Krishna. If we develop or if we not develop love for Krishna, this is the criteria of success. But on the day-to-day life, we get involved in so many things. How we look, how we dress, and sometimes how we worship and how we fend the deities. And I heard devotees saying this, and how we put the tilaka, that have some relationship with that main criteria, but at the same time, it's so far apart. So I requested Maharaj to elaborate on that.
Hari Hari. The way you dress, the way you put on tilak, the way you do your worship, helps all of us to learn to love Krishna. So thank you very much, Prabhu. That's the only reason we do anything, to serve. Prabhupada explains, when we put on tilak, what is the purpose of tilak? To dedicate our body as a temple of God, to invocate the Lord within our body, so that anyone who sees us will remember Krishna. We're doing it as a service to the world, to help people remember Krishna. Whatever we do, we should actually do it in a spirit of service. Why do we wear these kinds of clothes? Because Srila Prabhupada gave us these clothes. We're doing it simply to please him. Recently, one devotee was saying that we should de-Indianize Krishna consciousness. Why are we wearing these Indian clothes? I said, we're not wearing Indian clothes. Couldn't care less whether it's Indian or Russian or African. We're wearing these clothes because Prabhupada gave them to us. If Prabhupada gave us tuxedos, we would wear tuxedos. That would be an interesting kirtan, wouldn't it? Can you imagine Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj doing his Tridanda dance with tuxedo? It doesn't matter what he wears, his dance is transcendental to all these things. But Prabhupada has given us. Therefore, we're just doing it to please Prabhupada. So really, we should. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious. Rupa Goswami describes that even the most meticulous, ordinary thing we should do should be done very, very carefully, conscious of how to do it to please Krishna. Prabhupada was so subtle in his Krishna consciousness. Jamuna Devi, original Jamuna Devi, she was telling us how she got this special type of wheat from the northern states of India to make chapatis for Prabhupada. Now in India, there's hundreds of different types of wheat you could make chapatis. And Prabhupada, after one bite of this chapati, he told her that it's this type of wheat. Hare Krishna. He was just so subtle, so refined, so conscious of everything he did for Krishna. So
So really, Krishna consciousness is whatever we do, we're trying to be conscious of doing it in a spirit of service, doing it to please Guru and please Krishna. If you comb your hair nicely in front of the mirror, you should be thinking that, let me look nice for Krishna. Let me look like a gentleman so others will respect my Krishna consciousness. Whatever we do, Krishna accepts the purpose in which we do it. Does that answer your question? So yes, we have to do so many little things. But if it's done with Krishna consciousness, nothing's little. For Krishna, even the littlest thing that nobody in the world will even see, if it's done in a spirit of service to please Guru and the Vaishnava, for Krishna, that's a big thing. Prabhupada would sometimes tell us about that old widow lady in Vrindavan. When he was living at Radha Damodar, he saw this old lady. She would just come to the temple alone. Nobody knew who she was. Nobody knew where she was. No one knew what she was doing. But somehow she would just bring a bucket of water from the Jamuna and just put it every day in front of the deities of Radha Damodar, just before they took their bath. The pujaris would use that to bathe the deities. Sometimes they didn't even know it was there. Somehow or other, this lady, every day she would just bring this little water because she wanted to please Krishna. Nobody recognized her for it. Nobody noticed that she did it. But she did it every day of her life. She didn't get any money for it. But the world's greatest acharya, Srila Prabhupada, is explaining all over the world the glories of this lady. Our spiritual advancement is not determined by what people think from the outside. It's what Krishna thinks from the inside. So everything we do, we should really be struggling and striving to do it in consciousness. How will I please Krishna? How will I please my spiritual master? How can I better serve the devotees? How could I better inspire others? Are there any other questions?
Would I have to